we are to glorify and to praise God for the birth of Jesus.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Folks, we are here to celebrate Christmas, and Christmas is a celebration of hope. You know, we talk a lot at this church about hope, and we talk about how you can have hope for today and hope forever in Christ. You know, I've kind of been joking a little bit the last few weeks here, and I have to admit, I give you a little update on something here. I have watched a couple of more of those Hallmark Christmas movies, so the DVR was just that they were mocking me, you know, the recordings there saying, come on, I'm here, and I watched them. So anyway, but I've kind of said, you know, I think there's the appeal to that is that it speaks of hope. It speaks of healing, those movies. It speaks of joy in the darkness that often comes to us in this life, in this world. And I want you to know that there's eternal hope, though. Those movies may make us feel a little better for a little while, but there is an eternal hope that we can have. See, when the Bible talks about hope, it's not just a wish for something that may or may not come true. When the Bible speaks about hope, it's a sure and certain promise of things to come. It's something that will happen. It just hasn't happened yet. So it's a promise of what is to come. But a promise is only as good as the character and the power of the person who makes it, isn't it? So anyone can make a promise, but can you trust that person? And even if you can trust the person's intentions, they have to have the power, the ability to carry it out. And sometimes, despite our best of intentions, we're not in control of all things, and we may not be able to carry out that promise that we had intended. But you see, for God, it's never an issue of character or power, is it? Because God's character is holy, is just, is loving. And he has all power. Nothing is impossible for him. Nothing can thwart his purposes and his will. And so that is our hope, this biblical hope, which is the good promises of God that are backed up by his holy character and his almighty power. And what is that hope we have? Well, that hope is it's eternal life. It's blessing forever in the presence of God. That hope is God's promise that one day soon he will resurrect our frail, sick, mortal bodies and transform them into glorious resurrection bodies that will never get sick or die. That hope is that he is going to make all things new, a new heaven and a new earth that will be forever set free from the pain and the consequences of sin, set free from the darkness, no more death, no more disease, no more sorrow, no more pain. And you can share in that hope too through faith in Christ. So Christmas is a celebration of hope in Jesus. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, who is the one who achieved that hope for us and now offers it freely to all who believe. So as we celebrate Christmas here together here today, but even quietly in your own heart, in your own home, I pray that it will be a celebration of hope. So we continue our series in today with Christmas of celebrating hope and seeing how we were celebrating then the angels and the shepherds and the praise that they gave. And we are invited to praise God, to thank God along with the shepherds and the angels. Before we look at our text in Luke chapter 2, just a reminder of the incredible faith that Mary demonstrated. Remember, Mary here is this young woman, a teenage girl, when an angel comes to her and says that you are going to be the mother of the Messiah. And of course, she understood that the angel was saying this was going to be a miraculous birth, a virgin birth. She wondered, well, how can this be? And she is told that the power of God would overshadow her, that she would conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she knew all that would mean, the hardship that was going to bring into her life. And then she wondered, how would her husband-to-be, Joseph, take this news? And of course, Joseph took it the way probably any of us would in here. He found that very hard to believe. But then the angel appeared to him and told him that all that Mary had told her was true. And so Joseph then responded also then with faith and obedience and did as he was told. So now here are Mary and Joseph, and Mary is with child by the Holy Spirit. This child is to be is the Messiah, the deliverer. But the scriptures prophesied the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph live in Nazareth, some 70 or 80 miles away, but the scriptures clearly say Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So we might ask, did God make a mistake? Did he get the prophecy wrong? Was God wringing his hands now saying, what am I going to do now? They're in Nazareth, but the prophecy says Bethlehem. How is he going to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem in fulfillment of the prophecy? Well, if we look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So here, as we read about the birth of Jesus here, it's a familiar story, I know, for many of us. But isn't it interesting? God is never stopped from fulfilling his purposes and plans by human circumstances, is he? And so how did he get Mary and Joseph? Well, it turns out that the ruler, the so-called ruler of the world, was overruled by the true ruler of the world. See, the ruler of the world, the so-called ruler of the world, was Caesar Augustus of the Roman Empire, who ruled over the whole Western world, the known world there in the West. And it was upon his heart then to call for this registration. Now, what was this registration? Well, we live in times in which we know that there are certain obligations that we have to the governing authorities above us. Well, one of the obligations one had if one lived in the Roman Empire then is there would occasionally be these registrations or this census. And what was it? Well, you did it in order to register young men for military service, but also for everybody else for taxes. How many of you enjoy paying taxes here? Is that your favorite thing to do? Well, taxes have been with us for a long time, including here in the days of Joseph and Mary. And so Caesar orders this registration to be taken. And for Jews then, they were exempted from the military service, but they still had to pay the taxes. And so they still had to register. And for this registration, it required people to return to their ancestral hometown. And in this case, Joseph and Mary both were of the line of David. And that meant that they must travel to David's hometown, which was Bethlehem, where precisely the scriptures had prophesied the Messiah would be born. And so while they were there then, the time came for Mary to give birth. But as has famously been told, there was no room for them in the inn. So they stayed where they could. No doubt Bethlehem was crowded then with all of these people coming to register. And so they stayed where they could. Quite likely then it was a stable or a place where animals were kept. And likely it was a cave. So here is Jesus, the Son of God, leaving behind his glory of heaven, humbling himself to be made a human being, a baby, and he's born not in a palace, but in a cold and dark, dirty cave, a stable for animals. When he was born, they wrapped him in the swaddling cloths and then put him in a manger, which is an animal's feeding trough. I'd say that is an incredible act of humility, wouldn't you? The humility of the Son of God. Scripture tells us then, too, that nearby there were shepherds out in the field, that they were watching over their flock by night. You know, something interesting a lot of people don't realize about that is that this flock was what was used for the sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not too far here from Bethlehem. And so these shepherds were watching over the flock that was used for the sacrificial system. Now, do you think God had a purpose in announcing to them? What was he saying? These shepherds were providing the lambs of God that would be used in the temple for sacrifice, these lambs that God required in the temple sacrifice. But now he was providing the Lamb of God. So this announcement to these shepherds shows then that Jesus is the Lamb of God who has come in to give his life for us. So as they were watching over their flock by night, an ordinary night, I'm sure, something extraordinary happened. An angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. I don't know about you, but I think if I was there with them, if I was one of those shepherds, and all of a sudden an angel appeared and the glorious light of God occurred, my reaction would probably be like them. I would be terrified by this. What is this? And so as we often see in the scriptures, when an angel appears, inevitably it seems, what are the first words out of the angel's mouth is what? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. So the angel says to these shepherds, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Good news of great joy that is for all the people. The gospel is the good news. They were bringing the announcement that the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the Deliverer had been born. And the shepherds were told that they would find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths in a manger. And then suddenly a whole host, the sky must have been filled with angels then, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Gloria in excelsis Deo, like we were singing, glory to God in the highest. They probably didn't say it in Latin, but they said it nevertheless. So glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. That God is to be praised and glorified because he has brought peace. You see, Jesus, the baby in the manger, is our peace with God, that we might know the peace of God. The angels went away, returned back into heaven. And the shepherds then were eager to go to Bethlehem and to see this Savior. And when they saw him, they told everyone what the angels had said to them about this baby. And I love what the scripture says there about how Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. Can you imagine what was going through her mind and her heart as she was told these things that the shepherds had been told and what they had seen and heard? And you know, when we receive this kind of good news, we can't help but tell others about it, can we? There's something about us, when you receive good news, aren't you just bursting inside with you have to tell someone, right? You can't stand to keep it inside of you. So the shepherds, their hearts were bursting with joy that God had sent the Messiah to them. The Messiah had been born. And they couldn't wait to tell everyone what they had seen and what they had heard. And so too, for we who have this good news, let us praise God along with them and tell others as well. Well, this is a familiar story, I know, from an issue. You might say, okay, I've heard this story, but so what? What does this have to do with me, with my life here today, perhaps you're wondering? Well, I'd like us just to take a few minutes to ponder that question, that so what? Would remind us again where we started, that the scriptures tell us that we are to glorify and to praise God for the birth of Jesus. And we're not just thankful that a baby was born. We're thankful for who that baby is, what that baby did, what that baby continues to do, and what he will one day do. You see, Jesus is the greatest gift that's ever been given to us. So I'd like us to reflect on that for just a few minutes here and celebrate that gift of Jesus. You know, many of us at home, I'm sure there are presents wrapped up underneath the tree there waiting to, some of it, who opens gifts on Christmas Eve? Anyone, some of you do that? Some on Christmas morning, some a little, my family, it was a little combination. Remember, Judy, we always got to open one on Christmas Eve, right? And then the rest of them were the next morning, Christmas Day. Well, there is one gift that I hope you've already received. And if you haven't, I pray that you'll receive it this Christmas because it's the greatest gift ever given. That is the gift of Jesus. So I'd like us to reflect on the gift of Jesus, but then also the gifts of Jesus. Jesus is a gift given to us, and he gives gifts to us then. So what is the gift of Jesus? Well, Jesus is, he is the great I Am. That is, he is Almighty God. It's incredible to contemplate, isn't it, that the baby in the manger is the God of the universe who made all things by the power of his word. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the eternal one. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the true ruler over all the world. He is the Word of God. That is, he has revealed God to us. The Word of God, the Scriptures reveal Jesus. Jesus is the supreme revelation of God to us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the image of the invisible God. Through the visible sight of him, we saw the exact image of the invisible God. He is the Son of Man, which means that he is exactly like us as a human being. He is every bit as human as you and me. Of course, there's a critical difference between him and us when it comes to our humanity. He didn't have that sin nature, so he never sinned. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Deliverer, the Savior, the Lamb of God. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the resurrection and the life that all who believe in him, even though they die, will yet live in him, and those who believe in him will never, ever spiritually die. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to heaven, the way to God. He is the truth, and He is the life, eternal life. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the beginning of our faith and the one who will bring all that He has promised to completion and fulfillment. I must admit, I have a few half-finished projects. Anybody else here have a few things that are half done around the house? Or see, God never starts something and fails to finish it. He finishes everything He begins. So He's the start of our faith, the author, but He's also the finisher of our faith. Meaning what? That He's going to finish everything He has promised to do for you. He is the good shepherd who cares for His flock. He is the Prince of Peace, and He is the High Priest who intercedes for us, who prays for us before the throne of His Father. And He is the head of the church, the ruler of His body, the church. So this is some biblical descriptions of who Jesus is. The baby in the manger, yes, but also the great I Am, the Savior, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who is coming again to judge and to make all things new. What are some of the gifts of Jesus? These are the blessings that we have through faith in Him. The blessings of our salvation is forgiveness, peace with God, forgiveness of our sin. We're no longer, through faith in Him, we're no longer going to be eternally judged for our sin. But He has absorbed that judgment for us so that we can stand before Him righteous and holy, forgiven, and have peace with Him, acceptance with God. His gift is holiness. That is, when we believe in Him, we're not only forgiven for our sin, but we're declared righteous forever. And given that gift, that ability then, in His presence one day, to be utterly holy and righteous. Eternal life, adoption into His family. Scripture's every spiritual blessing. God has not withheld anything good. Access to the throne of God, the sovereign wisdom and good purpose that we can trust in. He is our hope, the hope of the resurrected body, the new earth, eternal reward. Incredible things to contemplate. These are the gift of Jesus and the gifts of Jesus. And so I would say to us all here then, if you have not received, receive the gift of Jesus. And that's done by faith. It's in our hearts when we acknowledge before God that we have done wrong, that we have sinned, and we repent. We turn away from our sin, from our wrongdoing, and say, Jesus, I believe You came for me, that You lived a perfect life for me, that You died on the cross, taking the judgment for my sins, so that I might be forgiven and have the gift of eternal life. And we receive that by faith. We repent and receive. Receive the gift of Jesus. And if you've received that gift of Jesus, then give thanks. Give thanks and praise for Him. Give thanks for the gifts of Jesus. All of those things, hope, eternal life, forgiveness, acceptance, eternal reward, all of these things, more, every spiritual blessing, ours through faith in Jesus. And then proclaim, like the angels, like the shepherds, proclaim the good news of great joy for all the people. See, Jesus didn't just come for His own, the Jews. He came for all people, including people here in Wonder Lake and to the ends of the earth. So proclaim that good news of great joy for all people. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this eternal hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we celebrate Him. We give You thanks and praise for Him. I pray, Father, that as we celebrate Christmas, we will remember that He truly is the reason for the season. He is the meaning of Christmas. So we give You thanks for Him and praise in our hearts today. May we be faithful to proclaim the good news each day. And these things we pray in His name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.